But the scripture already addressed it. And so I'm going to agree with what God said rather than what I'm feeling right now. Amen? I find that's the bulk of people. The bulk of people live according to their feelings. When a feeling comes, that's what rules. Have you discovered that? Especially in the world. I mean, if you have somebody who has a relationship with God and has some knowledge of the Scripture, they at least have something else to lean on. You know, where it says in Proverbs is that, you know, don't lean on your own understanding, but in all your ways, what? Acknowledge Him, and He will direct your path. See, He's going to direct your path if you'll acknowledge Him, even though you've got something wild going over on the right or left side of your brain right now. You know, something's got your attention, and it's wanted to grab a hold of you and just take your day and just take you for a wild ride. But you have the Word of God and the Scripture. So your choice, John said, your choice is to believe what God's already done. My choice is to believe what He's already done. But sometimes I find, like Paul says over in Romans, he says, what I don't want to do, that's what I do. I have discovered that there are many occasions where what I want to do is not getting done because of the nature of something that took place in the moment. Amen? But to say in that moment, just like you do your child, you know, he says, you know, oh, you just going nuts, crazy right there. And just, okay. You know, it's okay for you to say okay. You know, but I got something going on. This child has something going on right now. And, you know, we're the same as children. I said, we're the same as children. you just, something goes haywire and you just go wild. You just go out of your mind. You know, but the thing is God has not given us that. That's not from God. That's not from Him. That's not His gift. His gift is love, power, and a sound mind. Amen? I have a sound mind. If my mind is going wild on the other side, you know, God has given you an amazing ability to, even in the midst of trouble, to say God is good. He's given you an amazing transformation. It's called the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will give you strength to acknowledge God's provision even in the middle of a horrible situation, whereas the world doesn't have the capacity. Amen? In fact, God has given a capacity to believe Him through the Holy Spirit. By the way, let's turn over to Philippians chapter 4. So when those troubles come, again, and they do, and they will, every day there's something that's going to give you a great opportunity to not rejoice. You'll have a great opportunity to complain. Amen? I'm telling you, they just come that way. Because this world, you know, God, I think, actually allows that to happen because just to let us know that, you know, this world is not eternity. Or this world is not heaven. Amen? I live in heaven, but it's not because I'm here. I live in heaven because I live in Him. I live in heaven because I live in Him. That's the story of my life. Now, do I sin? Absolutely. Do I respond inordinately? Yes. However, I determine not to live there. I will not be miserable. I will not be sad. I will not be unforgiving. I will not be, angry at my neighbor. Amen. Even though, you know, from time to time, those things crop up. I don't believe that. I don't believe I'm an angry at my neighbor person. I don't believe that. Do you believe that? Because of Jesus, because I'm transformed, because I'm a new creation. Old things have passed away. You believe you're a new creation? Say it, I'm a new creation. Say, old things are passed away. Everything is new. Yeah, well, brother, maybe in heaven. Not a chance. Now. Right now, I'm a new creation. Right now, I have been translated out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of His dear Son. Today, right now, eating the barbecue, eating the sausage footlong, whatever it is. Okay? Because I'm in the kingdom of heaven. I have this body. I have this body. It still lives here. And it gets hit by things. I smack my finger with a hammer or all kinds of things happen in this world and happen in this body, but they don't move me. Amen? Now, you'll say, brother, well, I saw you the other day, and you seemed to be moved. Is that fine? It may be true, and I may have been moved in the moment. I told you that last week. Is that there are moments that you are moved, and you are moved to a response that is wicked. Anybody like that? Anybody like me? It's like you have a wicked response because you have not yet learned to rule over your flesh. You respond to the world. Jesus never responded to the world. He only responded to His Father. Did you know that that's you? I only do what I hear my Father say. I only say what I hear my Father say, and only do what I see my Father do. Amen? Now, God is producing that. He doesn't say you're going to be sin-free in the world, but what He does say is that He is transforming you into the image of and the likeness of His dear Son. Okay, in chapter 4 of Philippians, He says, therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for. Wow. That's me. That's you. Esther and I play a game. Yeah. I said, tell her, okay, say you're crazy. She said, you're crazy. You know. Say I'm wonderful. Yeah, I tell her, say I'm wonderful. Grace, you help me. Say I'm wonderful. Okay, but then you get, let's do another one. You're crazy. Yes. Anyway, it works out. You know. In other words, the bottom line is she just flips it around on me. If it's good, she'll take advantage of it. If it's not good, she'll turn it back on me. Amen? Okay, and listen, you need to do that to yourself. Is that let God's Word speak to you. Let God's provision talk to you. Here's what you are. Here's who you are. You, if you're religious, you'll tend to be down on yourself. Amen? You'll tend to turn it back on yourself. You'll tend to, because you want to please God. You know, because if you please God, then things would get better. Things might not be as bad as they are. Troubles might not be as troublesome if you'll just please God. You know what? He never said that. He loves you no matter what. Amen? He's just loving on you. What He wants to do is see you receive every provision that He's already made. Remember, I told you last week, you know, Jim loved it. He got here Sunday night. He saw I drew his circles up there, and he said, Dave, what were you doing? What were you teaching on? He just was all excited about that. So, but when you're the bride, say, I'm the bride. Isn't that cool that you're the bride? Come on, guys. I know it's rough. It's a hard one. But I'm the bride. That is, Jesus Christ. God Himself loves me. And He, in fact, is preparing me a place, a body. Amen? He's, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, He said He's preparing you a body. He's making you a brand new one. Isn't that great? Norma, that's awesome. Isn't that great? No more Cain, you know? Everything. You know, everything's working. Oh, man, there's some things that are just not working like they used to, are they? Praise, I'm not looking at anybody. Praise the Lord. Or you had some things replaced, and, you know? It's just amazing how they do that. And but you're His dearly beloved. He says, therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for. You are His dearly beloved. You are longed for. Amen? You know you're longed for? I just love to read this stuff. I love to slow down and read it. I don't like to kind of breeze through things too fast. Yeah, I understand if you're trying to get through a passage and get the get the gist of it, get the direction of the of what he's saying in the entire passage. But then to slow down and look at some of these phrases. You are his dearly beloved, and you are longed for, Paul. You are longed for. I mean, he just can't wait to put you in that new body and just have you hanging out. Even number one, he just likes hanging out with you anyway. You're longed for. Amen? God longs for you when you're kind of off not trusting him. I said he longs for you when you're off not trusting him, when you're doing your own thing. I said, I talked about this last week, was the when God said don't eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, the reason he was saying that was that is, you know, you figuring out on your own what to do is not in your best interest. What your best interest is coming to me and letting me. You weren't built for that. But the enemy decided that he wanted to deceive you into thinking, and that's what the whole world believes now, is that God helps those who help themselves. You know, if you just meet God halfway, he'll bless you. He didn't say that. He said you're desperately wicked. First off the bat, he told you don't eat of that tree, and you did, because if you'd eat that tree, you'd be like God, knowing good and evil. Well, that sounds like a good idea. Well, God said it wasn't a good idea. That's why he said stay away from that tree. He said you can eat from every other tree in this garden, just don't eat that one. I think I'll eat that one. Well, it just sounds like me, doesn't it? It sounds like you. It's just, you know, that thing. I'm going to do exactly what God said don't do. But the reason he said don't do it is because that's not yours. That's not in your capacity. All right? You have to understand that there are things that are not in your capacity. One of them is to do right or please God. It's absolutely impossible for you to please God. Apart from Jesus and apart from faith in Him, it's absolutely impossible for you to please God. You just can't do it. Apart from walking with Him daily and rejoicing in Him, amen? I want to talk about that word rejoice. You know, the word rejoice always bothered me. Amen? I'll tell you why in a minute. It's kind of like a funny little word. You know, it's like a verb, but it's like a noun or something. It's just weird. It's a weird little word. And we all say it because we kind of basically know what it is, you know. But I just like, what is that? Rejoice. But I'm telling you, see, God's desire is for you to hear Him and do just exactly what Jesus was talking about, is to do everything, only do what you see Him do and only say what you hear Him say. Is walking in that relationship with Him, because He didn't just wind you up and just set you on this planet and see how you do. Amen? That's not what He did. He, in fact, birthed you so that you might know Him and then you might walk with Him. You are His dearly beloved and longed for. You should meditate on that. I'm longed for. Don't you wish you was longed for? Don't you wish somebody liked you? You know, don't you wish somebody was going to be glad when you got home? Huh? I mean, you know, I do. I wish somebody would be like that, you know. I get home and everybody already ate. Of course, I get home at 9 o'clock, you know, so I guess I should just be happy there's something still there. No, but you are longed for. And I want you to just meditate upon all these things. Amen? I want you to meditate on all these things. These are the things to meditate on, because when you have a world like we live in, that everything is going haywire, everything's going crazy. Everything's going wrong. There's possibilities, endless possibilities, for everything to go wrong today. You know, and what God wants you to understand is that you don't live in this world. But, well, you live in this world, but you're not of it. Amen? you're not of this world. And when I say I'm not living in this world doesn't move me. What this world says I have to have, I don't have to have. I'm totally happy right now, at peace. I'm totally at peace right now. And you know what? Funny thing is, so are you. Well, You know, and then you can come up with a list. If I say something like that, you can come up with a list of reasons why you're not. Amen? But you know why? It's because you're listening to the flesh. You back to your flesh list. Right now, I want you to say, I'm totally peaceful. I'm totally happy. I have no needs. Well, you do have Jesus. That's right. With him, shall he not? How shall he not give us all things? Amen. He does. I've got all things. You know, it's like just, it's like JIT. Anybody know what that is? Just in time. You know what just in time is? Is you don't have it. You don't have it until you need it. You know, you don't have a big stockpile of stuff over here in the warehouse that you're confident you can just go. You can just go. I know I got one of them, so I go get it. No, God's providing. God's providing everything that you need. You know, when he's talking about the tree, the branch doesn't have a lot of stockpile. It gets what it needs from the vine, or it gets what it needs from the trunk. In the moment that you need it, that's when you get it. And I receive everything. I'm not overloaded. I don't have to have a backpack full of stuff that I know is provisioned that I can. You know, inventory, and make sure I'm in good shape this week. No, I know one thing. I've got a relationship with Jesus that when I am with him, I know that everything else is supplied. I am dearly beloved. I am longed for. I am his joy and crown. He's waiting. He's waiting for us. When he went to the cross, it was because of you and me, because you and I were his joy and his crown. For the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame. That's, you know what that was? It wasn't the throne at the right hand of God the Father. He already had that. He already had the throne at the right hand of the Father. His joy and his crown is you and me. He's not angry. He's not out to get me to straighten up. What he's doing is he's doing it in me, for me, and through me. So my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. So his desire is that you are standing fast. We talked about this a number of months ago, is what it is to stand. And it was standing, is standing on that promise. You're on the rock. My house is built on a rock. Do you know your house is built on a rock? Amen. So my house doesn't shake. My house isn't in danger of falling off the top of the cliff. My house is solid and secure. Is your house solid and secure? Say yes, it is. See, you got to say these things. You know, it's over in Psalm 91. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge. Not, I will say of the Lord, where are you? Amen. Where'd you go? Where you been? I will say of the Lord, because these are his promises, and I live by every word that comes out of his mouth. His promises, every promise in him, Christ Jesus, in Christ Jesus, is yes and amen. Yea. And amen. So stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. Is anybody hearing me? Are you getting this? See, you need to remind yourself of these things. Peter says this. He said, I'm going to remind you of these things until I'm dead. I'm going to bring these things to your remembrance so that after my demise, you may have these things in your remembrance. So you always are thinking this way. Again, because this world has a whole different agenda to you. They've got, I mean, that's why they got the news they've got. I mean, that's why we've got 24. I remember when we had three channels and news at 5:30. That was it. You know? You had news at 5:30. That was only 30 minutes. That was good. Jerry, that was good. When you only had 30 minutes of news. They didn't have 24 hours to fill. And there's no news today. It's all opinion. Amen. It doesn't take long to report the news, but boy, I tell you what, if you can let people give their opinion, they'll do that all day long. And they do it. I don't care whether it's Fox News or whoever it is, MSNBC, CBS, ABC, DEFG, whatever they are. See, because they're going to give you an opinion. They're going to give you something to concern yourself with. People are no longer concerned with what they're doing, what they're putting their hand to. They're concerned with fear. Amen. I mean, if you can get plenty of stuff to think about, you don't need to think about too much. You got enough to think about. Amen. You got kids and you got a wife. You got a husband. You got children. You got to deal with, to take care of. That's a full-time job right there. You don't need to worry. I don't need to worry. You know, worrying never helped me. Be careful for nothing. What? Full of care. Doesn't mean don't be careful. It means don't be full of care about anything. Don't be full of care about anything. You can kind of judge whether you're full of care or not. Well, today I seem to be up to here with care, with anxiety. I'm worry-free. Amen? Can you say that? We got a software we use. It's called Worry-Free Business Security. I've got that. I've got Worry-Free Business Security. And I only pay $69 a year for it. No, praise the Lord. I'm worry-free. Praise the Lord. I love that. Amen. Didn't think of it until just now. When you're preaching, you think of all kinds of things. Amen. Just so you can kind of give folks another opportunity to turn it over in their mind. Because the Holy Spirit will tell you something. And I want to tell you that when you're talking, you see, God uses you every day. God uses you every day. Because you're a light. You are the light of the world. Didn't say be the light of the world. Didn't say try. Didn't say work it up. Didn't say work up the light. Did it. All right, God, I'm going to take a big deep breath. And when I go in there, I'm going to try to be the light. Nonsense. No. It's who you are. You got the life of God living on the inside of you right now. Amen? You are the... I mean, everybody do this. Everybody just do this. Are you plugged in? I mean, do you find a plug somewhere? Huh? Do you have a plug? I mean, do you have a cord? You are battery powered. Do you wake up every morning? Huh? Well, apparently some of you did. Some other people who didn't. This morning, at least. I don't know what they're doing. But see, you don't have to be plugged in. God created you incredibly. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. You get up, you go, you do, you know, everything. And then you reproduce on top of that, some of you more than others. And I mean, just reproducing, just amazing stuff. I'm just excited about the fact that you know, we don't have to have anything. God has created you in such a manner that you actually have His life on the inside of you. And then once you're born again, you have the Spirit of the living God producing life in others. I told you this before, is that the way that that your seed remains. He says, it's my Father's desire that you bring forth fruit and your fruit would remain. How does fruit remain and not rot? It reproduces through the seed. And that's what you do. You produce through the seed, number one, humanly, but number two, through the words of your mouth. You produce by declaring the Word of God. Amen? You also produce in you by declaring the Word of God. The Word of God says, I have not been given the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. So that's the truth, but it's transforming me from the inside out. The words of my mouth are transforming me because I believe what I'm saying. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge. I'm saying the words of your mouth do make a difference because here's what you say about you because of what God says about you. See, if you'll say what you see in the mirror, you're not going to get very far. You're just repeating what you see. Well, that's a lousy thing. Look at that. You know, that's not working. Well, I don't know how we're ever going to get past this. No, but God has indicated and told you in His Word that He is doing mighty things on the inside of you because you have agreed with what He said. Now, let's look at this here. Verse 2 says, I beseech Euodias and beseech Syntyche, that you can name your kids those things, your next girl, that they may be of the same mind in the Lord. Apparently they weren't. Apparently there was some strife going on in that community. And he says, I entreat you also. So I'm talking directly to those girls, that girls, okay, get, you know, back out of your strife. This is not beneficial. This is not what's blessing the kingdom. So he's coming to them on the basis of knowing that in our flesh dwelleth what? No good thing. It's rather obvious. It kind of shows up from time to time that our flesh is kind of nasty. Kind of what? Putrid good. Thank you. Any other suggestions? Well, okay, it's everything that God isn't. All right, your flesh just isn't very pleasant sometimes. And so once, and you kind of get worked up with each other in flesh. And he says, I entreat you also, true yoke fellow, true brethren, true fellow workers, help those women which labored with me. Those are the women who labored with me. They helped me when I was in their town. Who labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with also my other fellow laborers whose names are in the book of life. Help them. Help them get out of that. You know, we can help each other and just help each other and encourage one another to, I'll tell you what, to let that go. You see somebody overtaken in a fault. Help them. Help them to get free from it. Amen? What you do to help people get free from things, first of all, you help them to forgive. You help them to let the other brother or sister go. All right? And let them go. Just help them, let them go. You know, number one, your unforgiveness is not solving the circumstance. All it's doing is dragging you into a pit. Anybody figure that out? Says unforgiveness, really, you're just mad, and you're still mad at the person. And you're mad or worse because they don't seem to be realizing that you're mad. Or they don't seem to be realizing what in the world they did. So here's what you do, is you just let that go. Say, Jesus, thank you, I just forgive them right now. Amen? Everybody just get rid of unforgiveness right now. Just do it. Just get rid of it. Let's leave happy today. Let's leave free today. Amen? Unforgiveness just binds you. It really does. It just binds you. It just keeps you in stitches. Amen? I don't mean laughing. I mean, it just keeps you bound. So, I entreat you. I'm asking you guys who are true brethren in the Lord. You see a circumstance like that? Don't just let that go. Just go and encourage them. Go, sister, come here. You know, you seem to be stressed out by this circumstance with Sister Meg. I'll just use Meg. She'll let me. Huh? Okay. And, you know, so but somebody come up there and just talk with her, and she might yell at you. She might, you know, well, it's none of your business. Or say, oh, well, I'm just coming to you because I know the Lord loves you, and you just seem like you're not happy today. You're not at peace. You're not rejoicing. I just want you to encourage you. I mean, if you have an issue, just you know, we share about it, or let's go to the person and get it resolved. But let's not walk like this. Let's not walk angry. Let's not walk in because most of that is number one. Most of that is you. You're selfish. You're wanting somebody to see it your way, or you're wanting somebody to you know, treat you in a certain way. Let it go. Jesus didn't do that. Jesus wouldn't expect. Jesus didn't require people to treat him in a certain way. So why should you? I mean, you have everything. So it's not, you know, there's no reason for you to carry burdens, for you to carry hurts. Amen? I mean, even I'm talking about even from past marriages. I'm talking about, I don't care what it is, from disputes with children, family members. Let them go. Let them go. Yeah, because right now, because when you don't let that go, you are hindering your walk. You're hindering your walk. God already spoke to it. He said, let them go. You're hindering your walk. Amen? Business people. Well, business is different. No, it's not. Business is not different. Because you're going to get bound up by that. You're not going to be productive. I guarantee you. You walk around in unforgiveness, people know it. And it comes out in the next customer you come to. It comes out in the next person you deal with. Because number one, you'll start complaining about the last guy you were with. You'll start complaining about to either your fellow workers or your customers. It comes out. You need to walk. I'll tell you what, you'll sell more when you're rejoicing. When you're walking with Jesus, you'll sell more. Amen? I'm telling you. Because people love it when you're rejoicing, when you're happy, when you're peaceful. Amen? As you've heard it said, some people, you know, they hate it when you're that happy. I tell you, really, truth, they don't know how to get it. They don't know where it comes from. And when they're miserable, that does make them miserable, but it also makes them hungry. Amen? It makes people hungry. They don't know where to get that. But I tell you what, you are well equipped to tell them how to get it once they get there. I tell you what, you want to get to where people are asking you who you are. Who are you? Who are you? Kelly, who are you? I mean, Jesus, something different now. Something's different. Jesus is doing work. Listen, God doesn't depend on your effort. He is doing it in me, and I just respond. I say, Jesus, thank you that you love me. Thank you that your spirit lives on the inside of me. And your word is teaching me and training me. You know, when I'm 10, 11, and 12, if I learn how to read the Word of God and learn how to study the Word of God and know that His Word is God Almighty living in me, that will make my life pure. It'll just make me pure. It'll just make me pure. I'm not going to attempt to be good. We teach our children how to be good. We teach them, don't do this and do that. But then ultimately they get to where, like Grace here, you know, is, you know, she's 17. She's going to have to make she makes decisions on her own. But we have to let her go and say, you know what, you're not going to be perfect. You better know how we tried to make you just perfect when you were little. We know you're not going to be that way, and you got to know you're not going to be that way. You're not going to be perfect by yourself. You have to have the grace of God working in you. You trust God to do that. Sadie's got to know that. Is that she can't perform in perfection. And God's not expecting it, and really, neither are you. You just assume we just want everybody to clean up their little mess, you know, here in the kitchen, or, you know, wash your own laundry. But we're not going to expect you to be perfect. Sorry if I'm messing up your house, Craig. Amen. She's probably not doing it anyway, you know. She's grousing about it, you know. Yeah, the problem is, see, people are thinking that, you know, you're going to be good in your attitude. But that good attitude only comes because the Word changes me. I'm not good because I'm good now and I should be acting it. It's not like God made you good and now you're kind of hitting and missing. No, what's happening is that He has come to indwell you, and daily you're hearing Him and walking with Him, and you will fail, but you will also repent quicker, and you'll actually be more often righteous than not. But God does not require this perfection in your life. It's a promise, not a requirement. It's a promise and not a requirement for His love or for His mercy or for His gifts. But what happens is when we allow the flesh to rule, the this life tends to take over. There are certain laws in the world that take over our existence when we respond according to the world. When we respond according to the gospel, your life is transformed and changed. Okay? Your life is transformed and changed. When you are loving your neighbor, you're blessed. And when you're blessed, you're rejoicing. And when you're rejoicing, things work. All things are working together for my good, for them who love God, to them who are called according to His purpose. Getting down to verse 4, which you know. Rejoice in the Lord always. To rejoice, yeah, you know, like I said, it sounds like a verb. It sounds like, okay, rejoice, sing, dance. It's not, but to be glad. My best, in looking at this, my best translation of this out of the Greek is be glad. Be glad. Right now, I saw something happen that was irritating to me, so I'm going to be sad. Or I'm going to be irritated. Or I'm going to be annoyed. And I'm just going to act on that. But rather, to rejoice is I'm going to choose to be glad. I'm going to be glad. I'm going to actively be glad. So rejoicing is actively to be glad. It's a choice and an action within myself to be glad rather than irritated. I'm going to be glad rather than irritated that when somebody didn't come home on time or somebody didn't get out the door on time for church. And we get here at 11:30, you know. Praise the Lord. Be glad. So be glad in the Lord. I'm going to say that way. Be glad in the Lord always. Oh, see? Like great. Over there being glad. Be glad in the Lord always. And again I say, be glad. Or how about this? Cheer up. Cheer up! You know, remember Jesus, He said, in the world you have trouble, tribulation, but cheer up! I have overcome the world where you're having tribulation. You know that spot right now where you're having tribulation? You know that one spot? It's almost like something spilled right there, something just nasty spilled on the floor, and you're looking at that, and what's your first response? My first response is, a bad attitude, maybe some bad words, you know? It's like, well, who did that? You know, whether it was you or something you discovered, you know? Maybe it was the puppy dog, you just don't know. And so he says, so cheer up. So you're making a choice. I'm gonna cheer up or I'm gonna not cheer up, amen? So I'm going to determine to walk in joy. Jesus walked in joy all the time. Amen? Because He didn't have any worries. He had no cares. He was careless. Amen? Learned that years ago. Somebody said, drive careful. The guy said, I never drive careful. I drive careless. So I told my kids, I said, drive safely. Don't drive careful. Drive careless. Amen? I'm telling you, these are good things. This is what you need to do. This is how you live. This is how I live. Amen? Say, this is how I live. In good cheer. That's it. Amen. You're living in good cheer. I hope you're getting something out of this. I always do. You know, maybe I say the same thing. It's like Pastor Jim, he'll say the same thing. I'll probably say the same thing too. It's just, you know, close, but something that'll change me. Because this does change me. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known to all men. The Lord is near. Doesn't mean the Lord's fixing it, the Lord's coming, but the Lord is near. He's right there. He's right here. So that moderation is gentleness, patience. So let your gentleness, in other words, you're not overstimulated by anything. Amen. One of the areas that another place that that particular word is used is in Timothy and Titus, talking about letting your patience reign. So moderation and gentleness have to do with patience having preeminence. So that's what that moderation is. So in other words, this guy is not, like I said before, is you're not moved by anything. You're not shaken by things that occur in your flesh or that happen to you. Amen? Let your patience and your gentleness be known and apparent to all. Well, how'd that show up? How'd that come? That came because you're rejoicing, because you're walking in cheer and joy. Amen? Even in the middle of trouble, it says, I'm in the middle of trouble, but I'm walking in cheer because you can't get me. You can't catch me. No trouble can catch me, off guard. Amen? And, my wife could probably tell you, and this is not my good demeanor. Okay? Well, you're just kind of that way. You're just kind of an easygoing, laid-back kind of guy. Nonsense. I got the same flesh as anybody in this room. If it wasn't for Jesus, I'd swear and kick and, I'd do everything y'all do. Oh, yeah. Well, Eric knows. Yeah, I'd be proud too. That's right. No. It's just Jesus. It's just weird. It's like you're taking something for it, but I'm not. Amen? You understand what I'm saying? It's like you're taking a pill for it, but you're not. I'm not taking anything. No, really. I mean, I'm not taking anything to calm me down. Huh? Gospel. Very good. Amen. I'm taking a gospel, guys. That good? Amen. This is so good. I'm just having a, yeah. Brian, is that you? Oh. You shaved your beard off. Yeah. Oh. Okay, you cut your beard strap. Okay, all right, fine. Praise the Lord. Okay, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known to all men. It's kind of like that's a result of it. In rejoicing, your patience and your gentleness is made known to all men. That's just exciting. Amen. Verse 6, be careful for nothing. Be full of care for nothing, but in everything. But in everything, say it, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. So, be anxious about nothing, but just pray. Pray like God's in heaven. Pray like God hears you. Amen. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. He's going to keep your heart and your mind through Christ Jesus. Christ Jesus is where you live. You live in Him. He is in you. You're in Him. The Father is in y'all. Amen? John 17. This is the Father. He's dwelling in you. This is the Holy Spirit. He is with you and shall be in you. Finally, listen, here it is. Well, I got stuck way back early, didn't I? Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, And if there be any praise, think on these things. Now, of course, you can take the other list. You know, if there be any grumbling, if there be any disappointment, you know, if there be any trouble, think on these things. Most of us there. Most of us, we're thinking on those things. Here's my list, and I'm thinking on it, glory to God. It's my prayer list, and I'm praying about these problems. Anybody praying about your problems? Here's what I don't have. Here's what I didn't get. Here's what somebody else got. Most prayers, you know, right? Most prayers are what I didn't get. Hey, listen, let's be thankful. Learn to be thankful. With thanksgiving, let your requests be made known. Not with irritation and grumbling, but with thanksgiving. See, you've changed your entire life. You've changed your entire life living in joy, living rejoicing, living in peace, knowing that all things are provided for me. There's nothing that I lack. There's nothing that shall by any means hurt me. Isn't this your life? Yes! I'll answer for you. This is my life. Nothing shall by any means hurt me. I lack nothing. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not lack. I don't lack for anything. Now keep reading this because this is the best part coming up at the bottom. Those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. Now he's talking about what I'm telling you today. Is rejoice in all things. You know, our desire is to follow the Lord, that you would follow the Lord in the same way. And again, we're not perfect. And we're not close. We're not even close. Okay, I'm not close. I'm just encouraging you in the same thing that I'm encouraged with. Is that okay? I just want to encourage you in the same way that I'm encouraged by the Word. And for me, it works, and for you, it will work. What doesn't work is grumbling. What doesn't work is unforgiveness. What doesn't work? What doesn't work is how come it isn't done yet? That doesn't work. You're thanking God in all circumstances, in all things. Why hasn't this happened yet? I have what I need right now. I want you to say those things. I have what I need right now. There's nothing you're waiting for. Nothing you're missing. There's nothing you're missing. I'm not missing anything. I know there are those things which come to your mind. When I say that, there are things that come to your mind. So you just don't know. You know what? You're right. I don't know. But one thing I do know is that God has made provision for everything that appears to be lacking for you. He loves you. And with Jesus, shall He not also give you all things? Verse 10, but I rejoice greatly that now at last your care of me has flourished again. Immediately, Paul's talking about the fact that they're able to support his ministry and support him just moving from place to place, preaching the gospel. But you had lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want. In other words, I've seen that you have a desire to support the ministry of the gospel that I'm preaching. But I'm telling you that I'm not speaking in respect of want for myself. That's what he's saying. For I have learned, and I've taught you this umpteen times, in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. I have learned that. I have learned wherever I am, I'm content. I'm not worked up. I'm not stressed out. And I'm not overburdened. Amen? I'm not. You're not either, by the way. By the way, you're not either. Because you have learned in whatsoever state you find yourself this morning, tomorrow morning, tonight, they're with that set of circumstances to be content, unmoved. You are not stressed by the state of your circumstances, are you? I'm not. You're not. Such as it is. Not a problem. Not a problem. Not a problem for me. I know how. I know both how to be abased, to be without, and I now know how to abound. Some people don't know how to do that. I'm not saying you don't know how to do it because you don't have it. I'm saying you just blow it everywhere. Anybody ever been like that? All of a sudden you got a bunch and you just woohoo, you know, and it's all gone. You wonder where it went. Apparently some people don't know how to abound. They just know how to blow it when they get it. But I know how. That's how come some people learn how to be abased so much, is when they abound, they don't know what to do with it. I know both how to be abased and how to abound. Everywhere and in all things, I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. Verse 13, listen. I can do all things through Christ. Very interesting for him to say, if it's not up to you, to say, for you to say, or for Paul to say, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. In other words, there's nothing impossible to you. Nothing shall be impossible to you. Jesus said, there's nothing shall be impossible to you. Because you are indwelt by the Holy Spirit. The power of God resides on the inside of you. You are a man of God. You are a woman of God. Listen. Quit listening to the lies. I said, quit listening to lies. You are in Christ Jesus. He is in you by and through the Holy Spirit indwelling you. You live in heaven. Your conversation is in heaven. From the heart, you live in heaven. So your life is all about the gospel. You only have one life. It's all about the gospel. Why? Because that's where your life comes from. My life comes from the gospel. He says, you are dead. And your life is hid with Christ in God. Who's the you? The old man. The old man is dead. So when you notice him, just remind him he's dead. We're crucifying the old man with the word of God. You crucify the old man with the promise of God. Amen? The old man is dead. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet, not me. Not me. But Christ who lives in me. And the life that I now live in this flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. So right now, I want you to put off the old man. How do you put off the old man? By faith. You put him off by faith and by the word of God. You put off the old man and you put on the new man. How do you put on the new man? By faith and the word of God. By believing not the lie, but the truth. God has not given me a spirit of fear. Right? So I believe that he has not given me a spirit of fear. Here comes the spirit of fear. Whoa! No, get out. You have no authority over me. Fear has no authority over me. And what you want to do is you want to do this before you get there. Amen? Do this before you get there. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. You want to do all this? You want to do this before you get there. You want to make preparation before you get to the circumstance. You've learned both how to abound and how to be abased without grumbling, without fretting. I don't fret. Don't fret. Good word, good Bible word, Psalm 37. Go read it. Rest in the Lord. Wait on the Lord. God is good. He's good. He loves you so much. You're his joy and his crown. And you're dearly beloved and longed for. Amen? Well, hallelujah. Hallelujah, say it. Hallelujah. Amen. God is good. Father, I just ask you right now to minister life to everyone here this morning through your word. I thank you, Lord God, that those who have never accepted Jesus Christ right now will say, Jesus, in the name, I receive you as my Savior. I receive your sacrifice on the cross. You paid for my sin. My sins are wiped away because of your gift. And now the Holy Spirit will come and live in me. And I'll be changed just like Pastor was talking about today. I am changed and am being changed. And we give you all the praise, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.
For of him and through him and to him are all things. For of him and through him and to him are all things. To him be all glory. To him be all glory. To him be all glory. Forever, amen. Oh, the depth of the riches, oak of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable his judgments and his ways. To him be all glory, to him be all glory, to him be all glory forever.
Yes, the